Sometimes you just got to begin to chase a dream that is bigger than you. Sometimes when it seems like you're so far behind that you'll never catch up, you got to get up on your feet. You can't wait on other people to be what you've been called to be.
Hello and welcome to the Ugly Daughter Podcast. This is your host, Julia Legian. Today, I'll be talking to Susan Barber, all the way from the USA. Susan is an accomplished executive coach. She works with high-performance, high-achieving business leaders. She helps them navigate challenges, build confidence, advance their careers, and achieve success by pushing their boundaries. Hello, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So, Susan, can you please share with us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I actually worked in a large corporation for over 25 years in various roles in IT, in supply chain, and in sales. And one of the things I just wanted to do, I'd started doing it and kind of on the side was getting more into coaching and learning more about leadership. And so I had the opportunity when my company was going through a merger to be able to take a package. And I thought this is the time that I want to try to start my own business. So I did that about a year and a half ago. And it's been really a great adventure. So I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, that's wonderful. What makes you want to, I mean, because you work in the corporate organization and you also been a team leader, leading, I'm guessing that you have lots of team members under your wing.
Yes.
So what makes you want to transition from that, you know, leaving that secure pay and everything to go and start on your own business?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It was one of the things I kind of thought about when I left my job was I had probably a few choices. I could go back into an IT job. I could do an internal coaching job. I could start my own business, or could I go into some other different type of role? And I thought at this point, you know, I've got some ability to take what I've learned in coaching and try to move that forward for myself. And I'd never owned a business before. So that was probably a big challenge to think about. How do I want to do this? How do I make it work? But I found some great supportive other coaches that I work with a lot, and they are going through a similar experience. So we all try to help each other out and learn new things. And I found some great coaching mentors that have started their own business that I'm learning a lot from.
Mm-hmm. What kind of lessons you learn from these guys? I mean, because you know, right now you are also a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you learn from this guy that really push you to make that decision, which I believe is a very difficult decision to make for anyone?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. You know, I think it was just kind of being, getting over the fear of, I don't know, you know, what I'm doing yet. I haven't figured it all out yet. Being a little bit brave on that. And I had seen other people doing it. So I knew it was possible. And I think just learning from their experiences, what went well for them, what didn't go well for them, and trying to take those lessons and apply them. And then just trying to figure out on my own, what did I want my business to look like? Mm-hmm. Who were my ideal clients? You know, those types of things were really fun experiences to go through for myself.
But then how do you overcome the fear though, Susan? Because I know a lot of people, especially our listeners and myself, sometimes you allow fear to paralyze you and you don't want to take that step. You know, I mean, even though you know that that's something that you should do, but you're reluctant because of the fear that holding you back. How do you overcome that fear?
You know, I've dealt a lot with my own fears along the way in this experience. And even in my previous job, you know, I had some of those things too. So I think I've just learned to recognize it now, be aware of it. And I really try to think of it as something that's trying to keep me safe. And I just need to be brave about what I want to try. And if it doesn't work, then I'll try something else. But I think it's, and I have a lot of my clients that come to me who also have this fear. And so I get to help them through it as well, which I think also helps me be more brave and try new things. And then, like I said, these mentors that I have, you know, continue to push me. And I really appreciate that.
Can you just share with us a few steps? Like what kind of steps do you take to overcome that fear now? Like, is there a certain thing that you have to do?
I don't know if it's a certain thing. I think it's just recognizing that I am holding myself back, mm-hmm. and what is it that's causing me to be afraid? And when I think about it kind of more objectively, I think it starts to really paint a picture that there's nothing to be afraid of. You just put it out there, you try it. If someone likes it, great. If they don't like it, well, then that's okay too. Probably wasn't meant for them. So.
it's easy said than done, though.
Oh, exactly. Yes, I'm sure your listeners can all relate to this, you know, my story, because I'm sure they're all going through it too. But I think it's just an experience that the more you do it, the more you recognize that there was nothing really to be afraid of. And I think I try to capture those things down. I journal a lot. And I think looking back on some of the things that were holding me back, I thought, wow, that's so crazy, because now that I've done it, it was really not a big deal.
That's right.
But at that moment, it felt huge.
Yeah, that's right. It's always, you know, the case that, you know, you're so fearful and a time that you just paralyzed with all this fear. But then when you decided to take this step and really go out there and do it, and you look back and you just laugh at it and say, what the heck? You know,
exactly.
Yeah. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? So I know it's not easy to walk away from a secure paid job and to start your own business. Do you have any financial backup? Do you have any family members that help you through the first 3-6 months or a year for you to, you know, during the time that you try to build up your business?
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to get a nice severance package from my company, because I'd been there so many years, which was great. So that I knew I had some money in the bank, which is helpful. And then my husband's still working, so that helps too, because he's now the insurance. So I don't have to worry about, you know, some of the things that I may have to worry about if I didn't have all of that, you know, ready to go. So I think that made it a little easier to know that I should try it now. And it doesn't stop me from doing more or anything. It's just a nice thing to know that it's there.
Uh-huh. What advice do you have for those that don't have that cushion like you have with your family and husband and all that? For those that really want to start a business, their own business, but they don't really have financial backup or family that help them out.
I think you should start it on the side. And that's kind of what I did anyway when I was working. I was already coaching people. I was already getting my classes in and getting my certification done at night. So I think having that done and completed made me feel like, okay, I know a lot of stuff already. I'm ready to go. It's now just figuring out how to do this business piece and how do I want that to look. And so knowing that I had all that ready to go, I know there's some people who are super risk takers.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. So you could talk to those people, but I was not really at that point yet in my life where I felt like I could just walk away from the job. But I knew in my heart that it was the right thing for me to do. And so I just kept sticking with that gut feel that you'll figure it out. You figured out other things before and you're going to be fine. And knowing that I already had all the coaching stuff under my belt, it made it a lot easier. So had I not started that, that would have been a much bigger learning curve and a much bigger curve to get over.
Yeah, I think going about your way is an intelligent way to do it. For people like me, you know, just burn all the bridges and just go out and learn the hard way. I don't recommend. It's hard work and it's very painful.
Absolutely.
I know running your own business is not an easy thing to do. What kind of challenges you are facing every day and how do you overcome them?
The biggest challenge I think I had was, you know, I came from a world of a lot of structure and a lot of processes, and I had teams that worked for me. And so I had a lot of people to depend on that helped me get things done. And now it's just me.
Uh-huh.
And I can do whatever I want all day long. Mm-hmm. And so it's really finding ways to keep focused.
Yeah.
To say, what am I going to accomplish today? What am I going to accomplish tomorrow? What do I want to do this week or this month? And really putting some plans in place so that I don't just let time go by and not accomplish things, because that's really, I think, easy to do and much easier than people realize. So I really have tried to be more diligent about that. And I meet with those coaches group that I talk to you about every other week.
Yeah.
So it's a good way for us to stay accountable to each other about what we have accomplished. And I know that I want to go to those sessions knowing that I've done some stuff. So I think that also helps me move forward. But I'm a pretty driven person anyway, so it's not like I just wouldn't do stuff, but I think it's easy to lose track of things, especially if you work out of your house or you work out of a coffee shop or wherever. It's real easy to get distracted.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes, you know, I just find myself unconsciously watching The Bold and the Beautiful. I'm like, what? You should be doing something else. Hello. It is, yes. It is a wonderful thing that you, you know, being not your own boss, but it's also, if you're not being careful, it could be a trap, you know what I mean? And you might end up not doing anything that really productive.
I know. It's, and there's some people that I know that are doing some great things where they, every day is a different focus for them. So maybe one day they work on their blogs, another day they may work on their podcasts. Another day they may work on, you know, marketing and selling out things. But I haven't gotten to that point yet where I feel like I can devote a day to those things. I think I just, it's kind of what I need to do that day and accomplish it.
Yeah. So what you do every day, you just get up and then you fill out what you want to do in your diary and then just follow the system, or?
Well, I write a blog every morning. Sometimes I do it the night before, but I get up usually in the morning and I write a blog that I publish first thing in the morning. And then I usually have some client meetings that are already on the calendar. And then I work on, I also am doing a newsletter, and I'm also working on a group coaching program. So I have a lot of things that I have plenty to do throughout the day.
But you do, you did jot all this down before you follow them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So they are not in random.
No, they're not random. So I kind of know like certain things are coming up that I need to have done. And so I think what's been interesting for me is that I've always worked from kind of a calendar of what does my day look like and what do I need to do for my old world. And so I tend to still do some of that. And so I make sure that I put things into my calendar that I need to do. And it's just easy to follow that way.
Yeah. And I think that's the best way to keep yourself, say, disciplined and on track also. Otherwise, you know, you just go about your day blindly. And next thing you know, it's just like, it's over.
It really, time does go by quickly, for sure.
That's right. So Susan, you don't mind sharing with us a little bit about your coaching, you know, what you do, what kind of service you offer, and what kind of benefits the potential listeners or clients can reap from your service?
Sure. So a lot of my clients are people coming to me at a certain point in their career where they're ready for the next step, or they're looking to change jobs, or they're struggling for, you know, maybe some confidence issues that they've been facing. Maybe someone has caused them to doubt themselves, and so they're kind of feeling stuck. And a lot of those things are things that I also went through at certain points in my career. So I can certainly experience, you know, some of that and understand and empathize with what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we work on how do we look at you and who you are and who do you want to be and what kind of leader do you want to be. And so I do some assessments with people, talk about their goals with them and really understand where they're coming from. And then we spend, you know, 3 to 6 months, depending on what they're working on, just talking about those things, sharing the experiences that they're having. And for me, it's about helping them understand themselves a lot more. I find a lot of people don't do that. They kind of go through life and all of a sudden, yeah, I really don't know what I'm about. I don't know how to define leadership for myself. And I don't know what I value. Yeah,
that's true.
You know, so I think it's just a really conscious effort to do that makes a big difference for people because then they know where they're coming from.
Yeah, that's true.
And I have some great clients who started with me about a year and a half ago, and they're just doing great things. They have come a long way. They struggled with their confidence. They struggled to find their own voice and who did they want to be. And now they're just, you know, doing such great things at their company that I really have been pretty impressed with just the experience that they've said. And I feel honored that I get to watch it and be a part of it and just help them through, you know, whatever the next challenge may be.
That's wonderful. Now, next personal question. It's up to you, you know, to answer. You know, you can say yes or no, or you can, you know, you can choose not to answer it. But during the 25 years that you're in this, I call it an ugly world. There's so many challenges and, you know, things going on every day, just crazy world that we're living in right now. What are the two biggest lessons that you learned and you would like to share with our listeners today?
Well, one is I kind of alluded to and what I was just speaking about is really understanding who you are. I didn't realize until I left that I was probably not necessarily being my true self all the time. And I think a lot of people do that because you're trying to, you know, conform a little bit to what people want you to be in an organization and how they want you to act and what they want you to say. And people have, you know, those opinions and they want to kind of thrust those upon you. And I didn't realize that it was really conflicting for me inside, and I felt it.
Yeah.
But it was kind of that I'm getting a great paycheck and I've got a lot of, you know, great things that I've already done here. Do I want to continue or do I want to leave? So that's one I think is really understanding who you are and be yourself. The second one was a lesson that I learned, and I don't know if it's because of my age and when I grew up, but it was a really hard thing for me to ask for help for a long time.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
Yeah, I think it's just because we grew up at a time where you didn't do that. You had to figure it out. You had to be the one to make it happen. And so I ran into a really large implementation that I was working on, and it had some challenges. And, you know, one of my senior managers came to me and said, "Sue, it's okay to ask for help." And I said, "Really? Oh, okay." You know, and it wasn't like rocket science that I didn't know that, but I just felt like I never could do that until I had exhausted all possibilities that I could fix.
Yeah.
And so having done that it's almost like a big weight off your shoulders to know that that's okay. And so I've really leveraged it not only before I left my company, but now as well. And that's why I feel like I've just continued to build a network of people that have already done it. And it's almost, people see it maybe as a weakness to ask for help. I see it as a sign of strength. It's a smart thing to do than to spin your wheels and not be able to move things forward.
Yeah. I think it's at some point you would have to put a limit to, because, you know, in the past, I didn't like to ask people for help. But then now, because I learned it's okay to ask people for help, and then I just go overboard with it. I think in life, it's all about, you know, balance.
Exactly, yeah.
And learning to control yourself.
Or it's a good trade-off. Like, I'll be happy to give you something else, you know, in that's right. All your help.
It is really wonderful talking to you. So before I go, is there any valuable tips or any insight that you can share with our listeners today that they can come away from our interview and can apply it with their online, with their life right now?
Yeah, I think it's just really spend some time learning about yourself and understanding who you are and what you want to be, and take that time to do that, because I think it's just a great foundation to be able to make decisions from, to trust your gut a bit more when you maybe didn't do that in the past, and really understand what makes you happy, what you're passionate about, and go spend time doing that. Even if it's part-time right now, start doing it, start trying things. And take some risks, even if it's not a full risk at this point. Maybe it's just a half risk right now.
Life is all about risk anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I remember one of my mentors said to me, if you want to look for security or safety, just go and stay in jail, you know. Commit a crime, go to jail, and that's it. You'll be taken care of for the rest of your life.
Yeah, well, I think it's just so true that people wait and then they wish they would have done something sooner. So I don't find like what I'm doing now is working at all. It really is such a joy to get to do what I do every day. And it's just fills me with so much passion.
Yeah.
For it, that it's a whole different feeling, you know, than what I had before.
Yeah, it's true, because if you love what you do, then it's no longer a job.
Right, exactly.
And it's amazing because it gives you so much energy and joy, and you can just work like, sometimes, you know, you can just work and you don't eat and you don't sleep and it doesn't bother you. Exactly. I can relate to that,
true.
See?
Yeah, so true.
Well, it's really, really, truly wonderful talking to you today, Susan. And thank you so much for being on my show. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thank you, Susan. You have a good day.
You too.
Well, that's it for today, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.